What would happen to him?
He would probably not have. He would not survive the flood.
Nathan works.
Yep. All right, going back to your judge.
Wait, can you confess that there is no faith alone in the Bible, grace alone in the Bible, that there's faith and works, they always work together, that Luther's lying?
They are mutually inclusive, yes.
Luther doesn't teach that. Neither do Lutherans, and you're united to Lutherans. Well, I want you to repent and come out. I'm going to hammer away at the Lutherans till you repent and become our brother.
Well, yes, wait, you've just been...
like I would hammer away on your drugs if you were in drugs, because I care for your soul.
Well, you're just focused on so much as what we do and what we do. When you go back to your analogy of the judge, you're saying, from what it sounds like, you're saying, if we do sin a little bit, but we show God that we're genuine, that our hearts are true, then he'll have mercy on because of what we've done.
Yeah, but it's a work that God does in us. I already said, he gives us faith, he gives us repentance, he gives us the Spirit. It's all God working through us. Romans 2 says, the goodness of God leads to...
Oh, boy.
Repentance.
Repentance, okay. Yeah.
God's all about that. And so that judge has the power. So we're pleading to the judge that has the power. That's Christ. Christ has all the power, Josh.
Right.
So this gospel is not built on what I do. You know what it is? It's built on my response to what Jesus did.
Well, it's done.
And your response is to obey.
It's done to what Jesus did alone. Going back to your analogy, like if I go...
Not alone.
If I go to God...
Now, one verse says Jesus did something alone. Jesus doesn't save us alone. Because if Jesus saved us alone, just Jesus going and dying on the stake, he died on a stake, not a tree. He died on a stake. Jesus died there. Just that alone saves man. Wow, universal. Everybody's going to heaven. You don't even have to believe. You don't have to have faith, Josh. You don't have to repent. You don't have to be born again. That's what I have an article, the five solas of Luther. I destroy the five solas. They make no sense. Christ alone. It isn't Christ alone. Jesus didn't even say it was Christ alone. It's not Christ alone. It's not by faith alone. It's not by grace alone. It's not by scripture alone. You got scripture there. You're not following it. You need scripture plus obedience. Oh, it's not faith alone. Not grace alone. It's all these combinations. Salvation is a recipe. You want to get married someday? Let me give you some advice. A good marriage is a recipe of many good things. Not one thing. Not the sex. Not making a living. Not honey, you obey me. It's a recipe of you loving her, taking care of her, sharing intimacy, faithful to each other. It's a recipe. Name anything in life that's one thing that's of any great value. You got a job. You get paid?
Yes.
You got to show up to do that?
Yes.
You got to work?
Mm-hmm.
You got to obey them?
Yes.
They got to give you the check in your banking account? Mm-hmm. You see the recipe of all the things? Name anything that's really good and lasting and valuable. My wife makes me cheeseburgers sometimes. I love them. It isn't just the cheeseburger. She got to go buy it. She got to cook it. So you got to prepare it. I got to eat it. I give thanks for it. Everything good in life is a recipe. Salvation's a recipe is what the Word of God teaches. So it's never Christ alone. You have a will. See, that's another thing. You guys don't even believe you have a will. Many of you believe man has a will to choose God or not? Many Lutherans don't. What do you believe?
I'd say we have the ability to resist, to push God away.
Okay, but do you believe like Calvinism? Are you guys a Calvinist Lutheran body where... So the wells aren't real Calvinists or not? No, okay. Because some people think you don't have a will. You're like a magnet just drawn and only God picks certain people. Some Lutherans believe that, so I don't know. There's 40,000 flavors of religion.
Yeah.
And Luther's just one of them. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage you to test what you're following. Jesus says you're worshiping him in vain by false traditions. You're pleasing man. You're pleasing your own flesh. You're pleasing your mom and dad. You're pleasing your modern pastor. But I can promise you, if you start studying the Word of God and see all their sin and they won't repent of it and you leave, you ain't going to please them no more. Wow, you won't be a man pleaser. You're going to be a God pleaser. And Jesus said there's few of us, a puny number of us, that have come out of the world, come out of man-made religion to please God. And that's what we want you to be.
I get what you're saying, and you're just hammering the point of doing better, but the focus on...
Not doing better, obeying Christ because he makes the narrow way. Right. He's the gate. See, we can't work our way to heaven. I just made it to you. I just explained it to you. He gives us faith. He gives us his shed blood and his resurrection. He gives us repentance that we have to grab onto. See what it is? He came. He says, have faith. He gives faith. We take it. He says, repent. God gives repentance. We take it. He says, I'll give you a new spirit. We want it. We take it. He says, I've given you my word to obey and walk in holiness. We grab it. We take it. Do you see this beautiful covenant? He gives, we take. He gives, we take. You're making it sound like, oh, you're just taking. No, he's giving. We're taking. Here's my word of God. I love it. I cherish it. You could kill me over it. He gave it. I'm taking it. I didn't make it up. So that's just disingenuous. Lutherans do it all the time. Oh, you're trying to work your way. No, you're trying to not do anything and make it to heaven.
Well, that's not what you're saying. Going back, can I go back to your judge analogy and the speeding tickets?
Yeah, that's an example of how to get grace from a righteous judge.
Right. Well, that's you got grace because of what you did. You're saying, oh, I do have those speeding tickets, yes, but I try harder than most. I don't speed more than most.
God does tell you to try. In Luke 13:24, Jesus said, strive to enter through the narrow way. Many will try and they can't. Do you know what the words of Jesus, that word strive, do you know what it means in the Greek?
What?
Fight. You got to fight for your salvation. Lutherans and the churchianity system, they're just coasting in love. They're playing frisbee golf. They're playing hunting and fishing. They're watching Netflix. They treat Jesus like he's a get-out-of-hell card. I got him. My brother's seen it long enough. I've been doing it for years. He's been doing a short time with me. Hey, you need Jesus. I got him. I got born again 37 years ago. I don't need nothing. And they're worldly. They're carnal. They're living in sin. And Jesus is like a Monopoly game. Get-out-of-hell card. That's not who Jesus is. Jesus is a glorious God to be followed, to be served, to be lifted up, to be obeyed, to be humbled to, and to lose your life for. And he is a glorious cake, and he's a glorious icing, and he's the whole thing. You know what people want to do? All of the religious people want to have their own cake, worldly carnal cake, and they love to bring like a Jesus and just kind of put some frosting on it and go, put some frosting on, that's my Jesus. No, Jesus says, I'm the frosting, I'm the cake, I'm everything. And unless I'm your everything, I'm nothing. I'm right. Nothing.
And that's not, because we don't define ourselves, and God hopefully won't define ourselves by what we've done. Going back to
He will refine you what you've done. Jesus said,
He'll define
He who overcomes faith. Will be given the key, will be given eternal life in Revelation. He who overcomes. How do we overcome?
We have faith.
Do you actually know what the book of Revelation says about overcoming? Let me give it to you. Revelation 12:11. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Can we do that ourselves?
No.
So we can't work our way to heaven. We overcome by the word of our testimony. What's that mean? It means my testimony of a life following Christ, and I've lost my life to follow him, and I'm obeying him, and...
But that's what you've done. That's what you're showing.
We have to do. This is the words. You're arguing the words. I'm not going to go much further with you. You're arguing the Bible. Go look, pull up Revelation 12:11 and read it to me, young man. I care for your soul. You're starting to trample the word of God, and you're in grave danger. You're arguing what the word of God says. Revelation 12:11. It is written, Jesus says. Read out loud to us when you get there.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved their lives. They loved not their lives unto the death.
That's how we're going to overcome. By Christ's blood, our testimony is our obedience to him. You cannot, Josh. Go,
our testimony of
go
faith.
Throw your frisbee golf stuff away. And go open your Bible and go prove us wrong everywhere. Old Testament, New Testament, faith and works, faith and works. You're saved by your faith that creates obedient, holy works. You're going to have a successful marriage one day when you do your job and your wife does her job. The minute one of you fail, you don't have a successful marriage no more. She's in bed with your best friend or she ran away with all your money. Your marriage just failed. It is faith and works. It's a covenant. It's a covenant that we have. And so you're arguing, you know what you're doing? You're doing something called kicking against the pricks. I know it's a bad word in this culture, but kicking against the pricks or kicking against the goad. You know what it's a good example today in the world? It would be like find a cement wall and just beat your head against it, Josh. Because that's what you're doing. You're trying to beat against God's eternal word to make Luther and your false faith and your corrupt Christianity godly, and it's not. And I care for you enough. You need a rebuke. I'm rebuking you right now. You need to stop focus on your flesh and golf and the culture and get in the Word of God and prove what I'm saying is either true or false. And if it's false, you come rescue my brother and my sister and I from wasting our life serving Jesus and telling people they're wrong. Or you say, I can't prove it wrong. You're right. Luther was a murderer. Luther does say you can sin all you want, and Jesus doesn't say that. Luther does teach man-made traditions that Jesus said make your worship in vain. The Bible does say if you're a friend of the world, James 4:4, you're an enemy of God. You need to go prove all that wrong. Then we'll listen. But I can't have you just take snipes at God's word. What kind of example would I be if I, as an older brother, I let a man take sniping at God's word to my younger brother and my wife? I won't let you do it. I'm not going to let you sit there and pick apart God's word. Mm-hmm. This is Jesus. You know, he is the word made flesh. So when you pick at the word, you're picking at my Savior. I take that serious. You want to talk about righteous anger? I'm not going to let it happen. So will you do me a favor? Will you go study the Word of God? You got my email. You want to set up a phone call? We'll be in the area here for a while yet. We'll sit down. You disprove the things I've said. Mm-hmm. Will you do that?
I'll take a look.
Okay. Let's see how hard you'll seek. Will you spend more time at that than Frisbee Golf?
Most likely.
Yeah, that might mean that you're starting to seek. And when you're truly born again, you'll get rid of the Frisbee Golf because your neighbors are dying going to hell. And you need to be standing outside the Lutheran building with a sign one day saying, repent. Not playing Frisbee golf, because God says, love God, love your neighbor. I don't know how you love your neighbor while everybody's going to hell as we play Frisbee golf. I loved you enough to sit here and tell you this truth when I got tons of other things I've got to get done. But I loved you enough to tell you the truth because God puts people in my path to tell the truth. It's my job. So hopefully you don't forget this encounter. And if you are a child of God, or I should say, I don't believe you are born again. I don't. By the fruit, I don't. I'm just telling you, I don't believe you are. If you are going to become a child of God, the Spirit will quicken in you. I got to prove that guy wrong because he just trampled Luther and my faith. And he trampled everything I'm saying by the Word of God. Well, go prove me wrong. Mm-hmm. You can't do it. Challenge you. Can't do it. We don't tempt God, but I'm testing you to go do it.
Well, then, I guess I went to Romans 14, 4. Who art thou?
I'm going to give you one more. I'm going to give you one more, then I got to go. But okay. Go ahead.
Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he should be holding up, for God is able to make him stand.
Do you understand what context means? How to study God's... Has anybody taught you how to study God's word in context?
You look at the audience.
Yeah.
And you look at the cultural norms.
And you look at what else? First of all, you don't look at the cultural norms. That has nothing to do with context. Cultural norms. They were pagans doing all kinds of wicked things. The Bible had nothing to do with that other than when it specifically calls out pagan things. What's the context? First of all, let me give you a quick Bible lesson. When you're studying the Word of God, never, ever, ever proof text. Do you know what proof texting is? You have a job, right? Do you have a manual or instructions for your job?
Not really.
You don't have any? There's no protocol, no nothing?
Not quite. I really
what do you
work
do?
Under...
What do you do?
I've been constructing an airport.
Oh, construction airport. So they must have some standards
there
for buildings?
Is, yes.
Okay, so they give you this standard, this standard, this standard, this standard, this standard, this standard to build a cement wall or whatever. And you show up and you say to your boss, you know what? This standard... I like that one. That's the only one I'm going by. And the boss goes, whoa, 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 Josh, we got this standard. It's complete together. No, I'm going to pull this standard out. Did that make any sense, Josh?
No.
You're pulling out one verse out of a whole letter. Do you know that Romans is a whole letter? What for, is it from 1 to 16? 16 chapters? I think the other day I said 13 chapters because I like Romans 13. But I think there's 16 chapters in Romans. Mm-hmm. It's a whole letter. If I wrote you a letter that big... And you pulled out a verse, a sentence from here and a sentence from here. Could somebody maybe convolute the letter by just pulling out a couple sentences? So here's the context of Romans 14. Go look at my teaching blog. I have an article on this called Romans 14, Liberty Exposed. Lutherans and many other denominations pull that verse out and they say, you can't judge anybody for their sin and their false ways because Paul said don't judge. Do you know what the context? Do you know what Paul's judging there?
What is that?
He's judging the Jewish... Go read the rest of the chapter. He's judging the Jewish holidays, feasts, and festivals versus the Gentiles not having to do it. The Jews and the Gentiles were coming together as one body. The Jews were told to keep Torah law. That was biblical. The Gentiles didn't have to. And they were saying, wait a minute. We want to do this. The Gentiles want to do this. You want to eat that. We don't want to eat that. Paul says, don't judge your brother. And he's talking about the difference between Torah law. It has nothing to do with sin. And worldliness and false doctrine, not judging. In fact, Matthew 18 says, judge your brother's sin. 1 Corinthians 5 says, judge the body. 1 Corinthians 11 says, judge yourself and judge the body. So we're supposed to judge the body for sin. That's about Jewish tradition versus the Gentiles coming together. Context. You got to study context. You're just kind of pulling stuff out to defend your faith, and it doesn't work, Josh.
You were pulling stuff out in James.
Go read the whole chapter of James. It backs up my entire point. How much should my brother read? I didn't pull out one verse. Go read the whole. Read the whole chapter of James. Go read the whole book of James. I build my theology on the entire Bible, and I'm ready to stand and give an answer for every doctrine I teach. The Lutherans can't. You can't. Your modern pastor can't. I'll make you a challenge. You get your modern pastor. You tell him, I met this guy. He's challenging me, and he's challenging you, modern pastor, to get on the phone, and he has a whole bunch of questions for you, and he wants you to open the Bible and go through, and we're going to find out if the Lutheran faith is biblical or is it built on a heretic Luther. Hey, pastor, when can we set up this phone call? Can we do that, Josh?
I'll think about it.
Want me to give you a gospel card for your pastor?
Sure.
You tell him. I'm ready. We'll record it. He can play it to anybody.
All right. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening. I hope you repent. We care for your soul.